Psalm 25. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are also his. The sea is his, for he made it, and the dry land which his hands have formed. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Would you pray with me? And so, Father God, it is our joy today to declare with your people all across the globe that our King has come, our Savior has come, and his name is Jesus Christ. This morning, we come to sing songs of praise and songs of thanksgiving. We come to declare how mighty and how good you are, O God. We come to wave our palms and sing the songs even out on the main road in town, letting our neighbors know with just the simple parade that there is a King and he is here and he loves us and we love him. And so, Father God, I pray that today as we begin this journey through this Holy Week, that you would open every one of our hearts to receive you, O Jesus, our King, in a new way, that you would prepare our hearts to invite you to do a new work in us, to let the resurrection be true in us again today. Do something that you've never done before as we open our lives to you. Bring peace, bring joy, bring healing, bring hope, and strengthen us by the gift of your grace and your love. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 12. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Then Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who were selling and buying in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, you promise that where two or more of your people gather in your name, you are present among them. And so we just pause before anything else to let our hearts, to let our souls know that you, the living God, are right here in our midst. Our silence is a way of just simply being in awe of you. And living God, we are your children. and our hearts long to know you. We long to hear from you. We need your wisdom. We need your grace. We need your strength and your mercy for the living of these days. And so we turn to your word, asking your spirit to help us see whatever it is you want us to see. And so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be. And so you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do, O Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 week from today, we will gather again in this place and we will celebrate together that there is an empty tomb. But there is quite a journey to get to that place. And that journey starts today. All week long, we will be invited to come close and to be step in step with our Jesus. We will walk with him to Gethsemane and to Golgotha and to that empty garden tomb. To actually be willing to take this journey with him is to be willing to open our hearts up to be changed by him once again. It's the holiest of weeks during the entire year, and it begins today. And so we get to get going on this journey together. It's the Sunday before Passover on Thursday. And the Jews who would make their annual pilgrimage to Jerusalem for this holy festival, they would have already arrived in that place. This is the day of the week that the sacrificial lambs will proceed to the city of Jerusalem. And this is the day that Jesus chooses to join them. More on that little bit here in a moment. But let's just start at the day's beginning. Jesus instructs two of his disciples to go to the village ahead where they will find a donkey and her colt tied up. Untie them and bring them to me, he says. And if anyone asks, hey, why are y'all taking those donkeys that aren't yours? Just say, the Lord needs them. That will go over well, right? I love this small detail in this story that often gets overlooked in the greater story. For one, I love the faithfulness of these two disciples that are willing to go and do an awkward thing because Jesus asked them to. Jesus tells these guys to go into some village where no one knows who they are and untie somebody else's donkeys and start walking out of town with these like it's no big deal. That's awkward. That's socially unacceptable. That is uncomfortable. But Jesus says to go, and so off they go. If they ask why you're taking the donkeys, just simply say the Lord needs them. It should be simple as that. When people hear that they've got something that the Lord needs, they will be eager to let it go. That seems to be Jesus's assumption, at least. Is it true of us? There's probably not many of us in the room today who have a donkey that Jesus wants to put to good use. But I guarantee you, among us, we've got plenty of things that Jesus is saying, you know, the Lord could really use that. The Lord could do something with that. Will we untie it and let it go? We don't know who owned this donkey. But hearing those simple words, the Lord needs it. In that moment, those donkeys were no longer his. They were now the Lord's. Is it that simple in our lives? Can the Spirit of God simply come to us and say, this thing you've got, this stuff you've got, I need it. Okay, I will simply let it go. Look at this story that this unnamed donkey owner gets to enter into just because he let his stuff go. when God said, untie it and let it go. The Holy Week story starts with someone hearing, the Lord needs your stuff, and responding, it's yours, Lord. Dare we start our Holy Week in the same manner? The Holy Week story starts with two disciples who are willing to do something a little bit risky, something unconventional for Jesus. It didn't make all that much sense to them why they were going after this random person's donkeys, but they had heard their Messiah say to do this, and so they were going to listen, whether it made sense or not. Dare we start our Holy Week in the same way? Hearing our Jesus's call to us, even when it stretches us, daring to follow that call. Notice this detail of this Palm Sunday. Jesus is the one calling all of the shots on this day. He is telling his disciples exactly what to look for in that village, exactly what kind of donkey to bring him. He wants a mother and her colt. They will be tied together. All of this takes place, Matthew says, because Jesus is intentionally fulfilling what the prophet Zechariah had said about the coming Messiah King. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, the prophet says, say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So make no mistake about it. Jesus is totally in control of everything that happens on this day and of every moment that is coming in the week ahead. He is totally in control. He is setting the stage. He is putting the props in order. He's getting the symbols in place. He knows exactly what needs to be said. He knows exactly what needs to be done to be able to declare loud and clear what he has been saying all along. I am Yahweh, God in flesh, the Messiah that you have been longing for, God's anointed one, the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, the great king, the expected king, the everlasting king. I am he. He says, you see this donkey and her colt. People don't ride two donkeys at once. That's weird. Unless Zechariah says to do it. So see this one riding on these two donkeys into Jerusalem, just as Zechariah said 500 years before. Jesus is saying loud and clear, the king is here. And Jesus Christ is that king. Amen. And he is calling all the shots. Don't forget that. Because if you stay on the journey this whole week long and don't just come back on Easter, but if you make the stops along the way, there will be moments in the days ahead when it looks like maybe Judas has control. And there will be moments when it seems the Roman guards have all the power. And there will be moments in the days ahead when we think that Pilate, the governor, he's the one who gets the final say. And there will be moments where we are almost certain that Caesar, the emperor, is getting exactly what he wants. There will be moments when it seems that those with the bigger weapons win the day. And I tell you right now, that's all a facade, my friends. Because Jesus makes it clear as day on this Palm Sunday that he is never not in control. The story is his, and the power is his, and the kingdom is his, and the glory is his. Not that he doesn't let bad people do bad things. And not that real suffering doesn't come at the hands of truly corrupt people in power. It does. But in the end, we will all see that only one was ever totally in control of everything. Only one ever had all the power. And it was the one who had no need to boast or post or swagger or intimidate with that power. It was the one riding on a baby donkey. He's the one in control. And I don't know about you, but it gives me goosebumps. I love that. At the beginning of Holy Week, well, our hearts have to remember that even when things in our life, in our world, seem to be spiraling out of control, our Jesus is always the one with the real power, with the ultimate control. He is always on the move, and he is always setting the stage. And he is always seeing to it that the real kingdom, the everlasting kingdom, is coming right here and right now, until that kingdom is the only kingdom that remains. And so the first day of this Holy Week, some of us in this room simply need to let our hearts remember and recenter around this truth. Our King has come, and he was fully in control during that hectic week. And he is fully in control in our hectic days just the same. So deep breath. You can do it right now if you want. Feel it in the deepest places of your anxiety. Your King has come. Your King is here. He's got you. And he is totally in control. Whoever's on the TV tonight in our country or any other country around this world boasting about power, just chalk them up to another Caesar. They come and they go. Worldly powers fall as quickly as they rise, and that's because there is only one King, and Jesus is that King. Deep breath, my friends. Your King has come. And so the procession begins. Jesus on the donkeys. He heads from the Mount of Olives. That means he heads from the east towards Jerusalem. Do you know what else was moving from the east towards Jerusalem that day? A lot of sheep. Yeah, over 200,000 lambs being ushered in from the fields of Bethlehem, where the temple lambs were born. The fields of Bethlehem. Know anything else born in Bethlehem? The lambs. And their shepherds are guiding them on this 6-mile journey where they will arrive at the temple to be inspected by the priests that day. And then they will be selected by the hundreds of thousands of Jewish families who have come to Jerusalem for the Passover. They will take their lamb and they will take it home with them, and they will keep it until Thursday when they will offer their little sacrificial lamb on behalf of their sins. It's all happening the same day. So over 200,000 lambs filling those narrow streets of Jerusalem, heading from east to west, from the fields to the temple, to be presented as worthy sacrifices for the sins of the people. So the hundreds of thousands of pilgrims would naturally line the streets and rejoice. There's our lambs. There's our lambs. Our forgiveness has come. The lambs have come. Can you put yourself in that place just for a moment today? I know we have nothing like this in Belfair, Washington. We're probably glad for that. But can you try to put yourself there for just a moment? Can you hear the noise? Hundreds of thousands of pilgrims, if not over a million, 200,000 plus lambs. The noise, the crowds, the animals, the baas, the singing, the smells. Now you know why they started laying cloaks on the ground for Jesus. They were honoring him for sure, but those streets were nasty. 200,000 plus lambs. This is the parade. that Jesus joins when he comes to Jerusalem for that last week of his life. This is the parade. He sits on a humble donkey, a beast of burden, and he gets in line with a whole bunch of lambs that are headed to the temple to stand in place for the sins of the people. And notice where Jesus ends up when his parade is done. Did you catch it? Where does he end up? The temple. The Lamb of God is on the move. Jesus is in the parade of the lambs. Don't miss that. There's another parade happening in Jerusalem on this very same day. Matthew doesn't mention it because Matthew's not all that concerned about it. But the history books mention it. It's the Roman parade on the west side of the city, the other side, coming from the other direction. Pilate, the Roman governor, is the centerpiece of this parade. It's coming from his headquarters on the coast, moving into the city of Jerusalem, as the Roman authorities always did at the beginning of Passover week. Because the Roman authorities knew about this week. They knew that it was the one week in the year when a million Jews from all over the place, the people who were the oppressed racial minority, would fill this one city, and together they would remember this story about how God had delivered their people from the strong-arm Egyptians back in the day. If you're a Roman authority, that makes you nervous. And so lest these pilgrims get any crazy ideas that God might do that again, the Romans made their own parade to start Passover week. Right as Jesus took his spot on that donkey in that line of little bitty lambs, Pilate was across town in full military might on his war horse with swords and shields on display, surrounded by the strongest army in the world. A parade of force to remind everyone who is really in charge around here. And King Herod, he would have been watching over these proceedings from his palace over on the Temple Mount. So you've got Herod above everything, and you've got him keeping watch over all, and you've got Pilate on the ground with the troops. Everywhere you look, Rome is telling those pesky Jews, "We are watching you. Don't you dare try to pull anything. No one is going to topple the greatness of Rome." Two parades on the same day. And these two parades have completely different messages about what makes a king great, about what makes a people great, about what greatness is in general. The parade of the lambs says a great king is a humble king. The parade of the empire says a great king demands the spotlight. The parade of the lambs says a great king is known by his gentleness. The parade of the empire says great kings must use might. The parade of the lambs says a great king is willing to lay his life down. And the parade of the empire, the king says, "You'll die before I do." And the parade of the lambs says that great kings bring good news to the poor. And the parade of the empire, the poor are exploited to build up the kingdom. And the parade of the lambs, it says a great king will get dirty to show how much he loves his people. The parade of the empire says your king is untouchable and unscathed by the mess down there. The parade of the lambs has a king who says, "I see everything, and my heart moves with compassion over what I see." The parade of the empire says, "I see everything, and you'd better behave, or else you'll pay." the parade of the lambs moves forth by invitation, the empire's parade by intimidation. The lamb's parade says there is power in sacrificial love. The empire says there is power in bigger weapons. Here's what we know about the two parades of Jesus and Pilate and Herod. Only one of these three is still alive. And so only one of these parades must actually lead to life. Two parades, one king. My brothers and sisters in Christ, so much has changed in these 2,000 years. And yet so much is still the same, is it not? The language of empire, the lies about what makes a people, a king, a nation great, they sound pretty much the same no matter where you go in this world. And they're just as untrue today as they were on that Sunday some 2,000 years ago. There are many parades, but there is one king. There are many ways to do life as a people, but there's only one way that's truly great, and it is the way of Jesus. Amen. And so, my friends, choose your king wisely. And honor the king you choose completely. And this is not against any one politician or another. None of them are the king. Jesus is the king. Choose your king wisely. The people throw their cloaks and their branches on the road. And they dance and they sing as Jesus passes by. Hosanna, save us. This is the Son of David. This is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And that song and that dance gets the entire city in an uproar, wondering, who is this Jesus? Who is this king? Could he really be all that different from all the other kings this world has ever known? The next 7 days will answer that question. Take the journey and let's see what this king will do in us this Holy Week. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we live in a world, not just America, a world where so many people claim to be the king. Claim to be the ones with the power, the ones with the control, the ones that we should fear, the ones that we should bow down to. And on this Palm Sunday, all of our hearts as your children remember together, we've already got a king. It's you, Jesus. We will only bow to you. We will put our hope in you. We will join the crowd and we will sing and we will dance for you. We will lay down our lives for you because you're the only king I know who's laid down your life for me. What wondrous love is this, oh my soul, that the king of the universe would rather die than be without me. That's my king. Thank you, Jesus, our true king. May our lives honor you this day. And in this holy week ahead, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.